So hello all and welcome, it is I, the Realist Philosopher, and in this video I'd like to talk a little bit more about myself, more specifically how I stay fit, how I stay in shape. Now I think a lot of men today, some if not many of the issues that they suffer from is not being well developed physically. Not only that they don't have much enough muscle, as it were, but they don't have some kind of physical endeavor, some kind of physical pursuit that they can engage in, that they can use to let off steam, to meditate in the moment while doing it, to develop physical prowess, as it were, and in turn gain a self-esteem boost, you might say, have better mental acuity, be more physically fit. And we men, we're physical creatures. We evolved to hunt. We evolved to gather. We evolved to run long distances. We evolved to fight. We evolved to be soldiers. We evolved to be hunter-gatherers and nomads. So we're supposed to move. We're very physical beings. It's why we naturally have less body fat than women, because we need to be carrying around less weight, as it were, be able to be more efficient. And also, that's why we naturally have more muscle and more strength, especially in the upper body. So strength and physicality are part of who and what we are. And I think too many men in today's modern day world have eschewed that in favor of more decadent and comfortable pursuits. And they don't really pursue the physical aspects of what it means to be a man. Not enough, anyway. So what I wanted to talk about in this video is what I do to stay fit and what works for me and what might work for you. Now, personally, I think every man should have one, at least one physical pursuit that they are extremely good at and that they are constantly striving to master. And even if they've reached a certain level of mastery, they should still be continuing to become better, to master it with even more acumen, with even higher levels of expertise. Even a master of a thing can still improve. Yes, there are the laws of diminishing returns, but within that zone of mastery, even though there are only small incremental improvements that can be made, you should still be pursuing those. And I think this is part and parcel of what it means to be a man. Our physical natures, our physical selves, the expression of that physicality and the developing of it is part of being a man. And because we've lost so much of that, and so many men don't pursue that to much of any degree anymore, they've forgotten a lot of what it means to be a man. And what it feels like to be a man. And that pride in the mastery of the physical and what kind of prowess within the physical realm comes with it. So I think every man should have at least one area of physical discipline where they are seeking mastery or have attained such. Now this can take years, usually decades. So it's a lifelong pursuit, meaning that the benefits, the gains will continue throughout one's lifetime. And eventually that physical pursuit will become a part of who and what you are. Now, for me, that physical pursuit is the sword. Now, when I was younger, and for a lot of my life, I boxed at the same time. But I've been practicing the sword now for 40 years. It's part and parcel who I am. It's the only thing I do at the moment to stay fit. And it's filling the card. It's filling the cup. It's providing me with all I need to stay fit. So I wanted to give you, my viewers, a little more insight into what keeps me in shape and how I see fit. And maybe it's something that'll interest you as well. Okay, so first thing we're going to start off with is something a beginner. Just a total green newbie to the art of practicing the sword would use, and it's this particular Boken. Now this particular wooden sword here, this Boken, I bought as part of a pack online. I bought like 8 or 9 different wooden swords, but there was only one in that pack that I wanted. It was kind of having a difficult, hard time finding. It also had a nice carry bag, so I bought them all as one unit,
and had absolutely no intention, and still have no intention of using any of them except the one I bought specifically, where there was in that pack that I had in mind to use for a lot of my practice, the rest just sitting in my closet. But this is something that a newbie would use. So this wooden sword here, it's extremely light, and it tapers quite a bit, as you can see, to the point, both in width and thickness. And that makes it a lot easier to use. Also lowers the balance point, which also makes it feel a lot more lively in the hand. And with a full thickness grip of that doesn't taper, and a blade that tapers quite a bit, both in thickness and width, this means very low balance point and also a very low overall weight. So makes it ideal for your newbie. You wouldn't want to use something too much heavier than this if you're just starting out, regardless of whatever strength you might have. The strength of fitness required to use the sword is extremely specific to the use of the sword. It works the entire body, of course, but there's certain points in regards to the use of the sword that developed to an extremely high level of strength and endurance. So even if you have good overall fitness and strength, you wouldn't want to start out with a big, heavy sword, unless you were somebody ginormous, like, say, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Okay, so here we have a very sensitive scale that is sensitive to within plus or minus 1 or 2 grams. So it's extremely accurate. So I'll give you an idea of how much like something like this newbie Boken would weigh in grams. So as you can see, it's very light. Move it around a bit. So about 447 grams. And that would translate to 15.77 ounces. So it's just shy of a pound by around a third of an ounce. So let's call it 1 pound. And that's pretty standard for a beginner Boken. Now also, something like this, you might use in forms practice, or let's say a competition, since it's extremely light. So that's something a newbie might start out with. Now here we have something of a more robust Boken. This would be an intermediate or high level. The truth of the matter is, most people who practice the sword are not going to use a Boken that weighs as much as a sword. The level of skill required to use any kind of sword that is of normal weight is very high, especially for a long period of time. And most people who have a brain will not practice with live steel anyway. So you're going to be practicing with wood, and this is the kind of thing you would also use for sparring and such. And this is quite a bit heavier also. So this is more intermediate, high intermediate type of Boken. I skipped one, actually. That's my mistake, but we'll cover that as well. That's kind of in between. So this would be intermediate to high level. Okay, so we're getting up into weights here now that are going to be challenging for most people. So as you can see, in ounces, this Boken is quite a bit heavier than the other one, 24.5 ounces. And the reason for that is, as you can see, there's not very much taper in the width. There's some, but it's a much smaller amount. It does taper, though, on the back edge here, the backbone, the back of the blade. There is some taper, but it remains pretty fairly constant from the guard area to the tip. So for those of you not in America who are on the gram scale, 694 grams roundabout. So this be for your intermediate to higher level practitioner. Okay, so this Boken is low intermediate, weighs a little less than the one I just reviewed. And this would be for somebody who has been practicing for 4 to 6 months, they move up to something like this.
Now, sword weight is very important. The heavier a weight of the sword that you can handle, and in addition, the poorer the balance and higher the weight, the better your control is of the sword. Now, of course, your movements have to be correct. They have to be correct technically. You have to have perfect uniformity of motion, high level of endurance, and you're going to develop a very high level of physical discipline and efficiency in movement. So, you know, that's why you start out at such a low weight. This can be very hard on the joints. You don't want to start with a sword that's too heavy. So you work your way up. It's kind of similar to weightlifting in that regard. So as you can see, this wooden sword weighs 576 grams for those of you outside of America, or 20 ounces. So a little more than a quarter pound lighter than this one. Weight has a lot to do with, how much weight do you move up? Has a lot to do with your ability to implement correct technique. The heavier it gets, the more difficult, so the more correct your technique and control has to be, which is also why you're going to start off with such a lighter blade. So here we have sort of three levels, and most people are going to stop here, and they just can't move beyond that. Achieving the kind of technical ability, control, and mastery of the sword required to perform with correct technique and to achieve proper cutting technique is extremely difficult when you get up to weights around this and over. So this is where most people are going to stop, and this will be pretty general use two-handed for sparring and such. Some people stop here. A lot of people taking up the practice of the sword don't even realize just how important the weight and balance and the balance point on their boken is in regards to what kind of technical ability and mastery they're going to achieve. There's just not very good instruction out there these days in how to use the sword. It's kind of a dying art. There's only a handful of people, including myself and the entire world, who actually have mastered the sword to a high enough level where they're going to be able to move beyond these blades in regards to using the sword one-handed, which is the proper way to use it. I know everybody sees two-handed sword use, but no, that's not really the proper way to use the sword, though some swords are so big that that's the only way you could use them, especially some big European great swords. But anyway, so these three are primarily what you're going to see. More of this middle one, this one in intermediate high to high level sword practice. So now let's get to what I use. So this wooden sword, Red Oak, is something that I use for the past several years. It's called a Subarito, and the Subarito is supposed to be used two-handed just for warm-up and strengthening exercises, for strengthening the shoulders, specifically strengthening the wrists. So you're really not supposed to use it more than, say, 100 repetitions. It is primarily used by most modern day quote unquote sword practitioners just to warm up, and then they'll use a variety of one of the three lighter ones I showed you earlier. However, this one I only used one-handed and did 1200 cuts with it a day, plus various other forms and ancillary movements designed to reinforce proper cutting technique and proper uniformity of motion. So just looking at it, you can see it's a bit beefier, to say the least. Not a lot of tapering going on in thickness or width. That back edge, that backbone there, the blade is still quite thick. And it is, yeah, quite a bit more robust than what we were just looking at. There are actually only a handful of people, less than a handful, in fact, only two or three in the world, that can use these one-handed for any period of time, let alone with correct cutting technique, and I am one of them. So let's take a look at what kind of weight this sucker has. So, for those of you outside the US, 886 grams. Now, I don't use this sword anymore, partially because of the grip, which you can see is wrapped. That was a recent addition as I was trying to increase the thickness. This particular style of Suburito has a much thinner grip, closer to where a guard would be, called a tsuba. And on a Japanese sword, and it gets thicker as you get onto the bottom. Now, this has to do with essentially maximizing, mastering, developing better finger and hand control, and getting better at controlling the blade in general for, more, how could I put this? More finite control, technically speaking, when you get to higher levels of mastery, the thinner grip closer to the tsuba makes it more challenging, the movements in and of themselves. However, what it also does, which is a real problem, is that because the grip is smaller, it creates more pressure points on the hand. And you can develop a carpal tunnel syndrome if you're using something this heavy with such a high balance point and using it for lots and lots of repetitions. So, carpal tunnel, numbness was becoming an issue. So, I needed to find a Boken with a more robust grip that was the same circumference from top to bottom and didn't have that thinner in width grip. So let's check that out, shall we? And by the way, let's see what this is in ounces. For those of you not in Europe and such, we Americans are big on the ounces, but not the rest of the world. So 31.29 ounces, so close to 2 pounds. On average, your regular two-handed long sword will be around 2 pounds, 2 pounds, 4 ounces, even your standard European long sword. So, yeah, this has real two-handed sword weight. If you can use it one-handed correctly, effectively, then you have a very high level of mastery. And again, only a few people in the world can do so. Okay, so here is what I use now. This is a recent upgrade within the past few months. It's a little beefier than the one we just looked at, believe it or not. It's also red oak, about the same length. It's a little heavier, and the grip is where some of that weight is. It's circumference is pretty much equal from top to bottom. It's a lot beefier, and so it really helps with the compacting pressure when I'm performing, 1,000 plus cuts, thousands of movements in an actual single sword workout. It's a lot easier on my hands, basically. So let's take a look at what kind of weight it's got. Okay, so 943 grams. So quite a bit beefier. It's just more forgiving. Much more forgiving on the hand. Much better for an actual long time sword user. You don't want something with that very thin grip. Not at all. The idea that you needed that much thinner grip to essentially develop a finite better control by making it more challenging to use. It's really not something you need to worry about, so long as you're getting the proper instruction, somebody's teaching you correctly, and the negatives in regards to that so much smaller grip and the amount of damage that it does to your hands, they far outweigh any benefits you might get control-wise in regards to having to focus more on that control, because that smaller grip, it's really an unequal trade-off. And it's not really something that's necessary either once you've reached such a high level of mastery. So the one thing you don't want is something that's going to harm the hands and cause long-term damage like carpal tunnel and such. So, yeah, as you can see, the grip is pretty much the same thickness throughout. And again, it's quite beefy. It's heavier than what we were just looking at. So, yeah. So 942. It's like 942. Now, I told you it's going to fluctuate a bit, this scale. It's not 100% accurate, plus or minus a few grams. So let's see what it is in the ounces. Okay, so 33.2. So it's over 2 pounds. So 2 pounds, 1 ounce. So a little over that. That's about what you're going to see in a European longsword or a Japanese katana that doesn't have a fuller on it. A fuller is essentially what a lot of people would like to call a blood groove. You know, supposedly people like to believe it was put there so that if you stab somebody, the groove would allow them to bleed out more, but you're withdrawing the sword almost instantly. You're not going to leave it in your opponent, so it's not going to be of much, if any, aid in that regard. What it's really there for is to make the blade lighter. Well, 2 pounds, 2 pounds, 3 ounces is what you're going to see on a blade that doesn't really have much, if any, blood groove. So very beefy, full thickness, Japanese sword. These Suburito have a very high balance point as well as a very high weight, so they're extremely challenging to use. And again, most people, being 99.9999999999% of the world that practices the sword, which is already a very niche, finite number of people, will only use this for warm-up. They just don't have the correct, proper education, knowledge, technical ability, mastery to use something like this long-term, even with two hands, especially we're not even talking about one-handed use, which is all I do. Okay, now let's talk about something that would be a little more challenging for me. Now this, to me, is a Suburito. Now this is made by cold steel, and it's made out of polypropylene. It's quite a bit beefier, quite a bit heavier than what I just showed you. Same length though. But honestly, if you're a master of the sword, you should even be able to use this one-handed for multiples of thousands of cuts. And people just can't do it. People practicing the sword today, they can't. They don't have the knowledge. They don't have the understanding. They don't have the proper instruction from day one. And they just don't understand that they don't in most cases. So they can't use something like this two-handed to do 1,000 cuts, let alone multiple thousands, let alone 1,000-plus cuts with one hand, let alone doing that every day. Anyhow, let's put it on the scale, see what it weighs. So as you can see, this guy is beefy. 1,172 grams for those of you outside of America. For those of you in America, that translates to 41.34 ounces. So it's a heavy bugger. It's not light. It's definitely got a lot of heft. And actually, there are Suburitos that are even heavier than this. Now, I practiced with this for a week at 1,200 cuts a day, and that was not even taking into account slower motion cuts and hundreds of thrusts and various other movements. And the weight didn't give me much of a problem. The problem with this, however, is the grip. Now, basically, you want the fingers of both hands to be able to just grip the skin of the thumb pad here, a little bit. You can grip it. This is way too thick. So the weight didn't give me too much problem, actually. The problem I had with this was twofold. Number one is it's too thick. The grip is too thick, so can't grip it as effectively. And number two, because it's polypropylene and plastic, even though you could theoretically sand it, you'd still get the same problem. And that is, once your grip gets sweaty, it gets a little too slippery. So what I instead use this for are wrist strengthening exercises, and I've got to grip it down all the way at the bottom to really get the kind of effectiveness weight-wise that I want, and maybe two-handed movements, which I do some of at the end of a workout. It's sometimes, not too often. It's case specific, depending on what I'm looking to work on. So something like this, and even it's really honestly too light to give me much of a problem. Again, it's just the thickness of the grip. And because it's plastic, I can't really effectively shave it down or sand it down. There are alternatives that I could get that were heavier, but I'm kind of okay with the Boken I'm using now for my general practice. If I want to raise the weight, I can just use some heavy industrial tape if I wanted and layer it onto the back edge and add several ounces that way very easily.